Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Galatians 6. It's only two sentences long, but I will have you reference the verse before that a little later on. So Galatians 6. You may have heard this story before, but it sets the stage for the message today. So just indulge me and listen again if you remember it from before. And some of the children that are here haven't heard it before, I'm sure, so you'll like the story. A mouse looks through the crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife open a package. What food might this contain? The mouse wondered. He was devastated to find that he saw a mouse trap. Retreating to the farmyard, the mouse proclaimed this warning. There's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. The chicken clucked and scratched, raised her head, and said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it is no consequence to me, and I cannot be bothered by it. The mouse turned to the pig and told him, There's a mouse trap in the house. The pig sympathized and said, I am so very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but there is nothing I can do about it, but pray, be assured, you are in my prayers. Now that was a spiritual pig, just saying. The mouse turned to the cow and said, There's a mouse trap in the house. And the cow said, Wow, Mr. Mouse, I'm sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose. So the mouse returned to the house, head down and dejected, to face the farmer's mouse trap alone. That very night, a sound was heard through the house, the sound of a mouse trap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she did not see it. A venomous snake whose tail was caught in the trap. The snake bit the farmer's wife. The farmer rushed her to the hospital. When she returned home, she still had a fever. And everyone knows that you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard for the soup's main ingredient. But his wife's sickness continued. Friends and neighbors came to sit with her around the clock, and the farmer had to feed them, so he butchered the pig. But alas, the farmer's wife did not get well, and she died. So many people came for her funeral, that the farmer had the cow slaughtered to provide enough meat for them all for the funeral luncheon. And the mouse looked upon it all from his crack in the wall with great sadness. So the next time you hear someone is facing a problem and you think it doesn't concern you, remember, when one of us is threatened, we are all at risk. We are all involved in this journey called life. We must keep an eye out for one another and make an extra effort to encourage one another. Remember, each one of us is a vital thread in another person's tapestry. Our lives are woven together for a reason. One of the best things to hold on to in this world is a friend. And I don't think I need to tell you, but there are some very heavy burdens here this morning, carried by many. I know that story of the funeral hit home, close home to some of you. Some of you have lost people you're close to. Some of you are watching loved ones go through intense pain or suffering or physical struggles. Some are carrying heavy loads emotionally for family. And I could keep going. There's a number of things we're all dealing with. And I can tell you personally, over this past year, the burdens on myself personally have gotten so heavy, sometimes they felt crushing. Especially these last few weeks, doing 4 funerals in 5 weeks, it's getting too much. I know that I've learned how to reach out to others and say, hey, I'm struggling, can you pray for me? It's humbling at times, but I have recognized it needs to be done. And I appreciate when I can do that to those of you and reach out. I've learned that when a problem is too big for me to handle, I need someone to lean on. Now, with that being said, the Lord has taught me that I also wasn't leaning on Him enough, but that's another message for another time. But what I've wondered about is, am I concerned enough about other people's problems, or am I too focused on my own problems that I don't feel for them? I know many times, and you can tell me if, or you can see if this resonates with you, but I've listened to someone share their burden, like in our time of sharing in church, or maybe they've told me personally, I'm like, wow, that's really sad, but boy, I'm glad that's not me. Have you ever, I don't think you're going to say that, but you know, that's mental subconscious thing is, sorry about that, but boy, I'm grateful I'm not dealing with that. And I realize it's not possible to be burdened with the same intensity that the person going through it is burdened with. I realize that. So today, if you haven't figured it out, we're going to be talking about bearing each other's burdens or being burden bearers. Galatians 6:2, just one verse, two lines, or not even two lines, just one sentence, two portions of a sentence. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I do want to look at verse 1 here in a minute, so just hang on to that. It is our duty as Christians to bear one another's burdens. Bear means to support or hold up. Are we holding each other up? Are we supporting our brothers and sisters? I like the picture of a person carrying a large sack on their back, and someone recognizes that it's too heavy for them alone, so they get a big pull and they put it between them, and they both carry it on their shoulder. You know, someone is carrying something physically, whether a box or a piece of furniture. The proper thing and the nice thing to do is, can I help you carry that? And usually we can figure out a way to help them carry it. So if we can figure out how to help people carry physical burdens, literal burdens, shouldn't there be a way that we figure out how to help them carry emotional, mental strain and burdens and loads that are on our minds and hearts? And I realize that in a world of selfishness that we live in right now, it is extremely countercultural to be concerned about other people and not worry about just me. But we as Christians are to be countercultural. We are to show the world what it's like to be different because Christ makes a difference in our lives. Several burdens that come to mind. Spiritual burdens. So if we know someone is struggling spiritually with something, we go to them and judge them and tell them what they're doing is wrong. Right? Well, that's how we as humans want to handle it. But we as Christians are to do something different. We're to encourage them, be an example to them, tell them God is there for you. In fact, when the subject of burden bearing in this verse that we read is being talked about, it's mainly talking about spiritual needs. So if you look at verse 1 right before that, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. If we have it in our power to build another person up spiritually and encourage them, help them get closer to Christ, then we better do it. If someone is struggling spiritually, don't discourage them by telling them how they can do better or they're making mistakes. Encourage them by saying, hey, I'm praying for you. I know you're struggling. I'll pray for you. It has been said that the church is the only army that shoots its wounded. And that's true. Because we're so quick to write people off when they do something wrong rather than come behind them and encourage them and lift them up. And of course, that doesn't mean that you don't tell someone, hey, something's amiss here. Can I help you? But you have to have a relationship built with them first. I've experienced this and I'm amazed at how I can help or tell someone, hey, this is wrong. Let's work on this. But I had to have the relationship established long before that. And just a caveat, if you ever do that, It absolutely needs to be done by the Spirit's prompting, not yours. Because so quickly, we as humans, we just, I want to fix this. No, you need to wait for the Lord to tell you. And honestly, it doesn't happen very often because we don't need to do the Holy Spirit's job. He's good at what he does. And notice this verse says that we should restore them, but be careful because you can fall too. And it's so true. You get yourself in a position where you think you're so much better, you're going to fall. The Lord will help you shift. He'll bring you down. He'll help you be humbled. Helping others with their spiritual needs is vital to be done humbly because we're all humans. And we can fall just as easily. But then there are burdens that are physical. The only reason I can give for physical burdens and physical problems is because we live in a fallen world. It's not fair, but life isn't fair. But physical problems seem to be exploding around us. I also know that during those times of physical problems, it's wonderful to have a friend call, text, give you a card. I'm praying for you. Call me if you need anything. And coming from a person that you know genuinely cares means so much. Don't pretend you have it all figured out or try to fix their problem. Just be there for them. No problem is the same, so telling someone I know exactly what you're going through, it might sound nice, it might be true, but the greatest support is them knowing, hey, I'm here for you. Just call if you need to talk, whatever. But I do know one thing for certain. I'm friends with the great physician. And even though I don't know why all these physical problems are happening, I know he knows what's going on. I know he knows how to fix it. And he's on top of things. And then knowing that you have friends supporting you along with that, what a blessing. So let our friends know we care. And just think, if that friend doesn't know Jesus, what a witness that is to say, I'm praying for you. I care about you. And then we have emotional burdens. And I've talked about this subject before. And it can be sticky and uncomfortable. And I know this because I've experienced deep anxiety, deep emotional issues. I've struggled with it. And in case no one ever told you, emotional problems do not mean spiritual problems. There are occasions when an emotional or nerve, anxious, whatever, can be caused by a spiritual problem. Granted, that can happen. But that should never be our go-to root cause. Oh, they're struggling. Well, they got something in their life they're hiding. That's wrong. Nothing is more discouraging than when I've had someone come to me and say, what are you dealing with? This is happening. That if a person's already struggling, just kick a guy when they're low. That's the way to do it. Sometimes all a person needs is a listening ear and not someone to fix the problem. My wife is not here, but I'm sure she's watching, so she'll probably get a laugh out of it. But, you know, in marriages, they say the guy is the one that wants to fix things, and the wife is the one to tell him, I don't need it fixed, I just need you to listen. Well, that's reversed in our house. I'll tell my wife something, I didn't ask you to fix it. I just need you to listen. And that's what a person needs. And I also know personally that physical problems, like for me, stomach problems and other physical problems, can be a result of having emotional problems, but it also works the other way around. I've seen physical problems that are ongoing and chronic, and some of your family I've seen struggling with that right now, is starting to cause emotional and anxious and nerve problems because of what that is ongoing, carrying on continually, and it starts to mess with our minds. And I could go on for a while on this subject because I'm very familiar with it. And I'm very close to it. But I just want to say, I've had opportunity to talk to some of you, but if some of you struggle with this, you struggle with nerve problems or struggle with anxiety, and you want to talk about it, don't be embarrassed. I'd be glad to talk to you about it. Personally, when you've gone through something like that, it is such a blessing to be able to share with others because it's like, well, then what I went through wasn't in vain. I can help someone else. And I just want to encourage you that if you know someone who is struggling like this, sometimes these burdens are harder to bear than physical problems because there's not a quick fix for it. Just throw them a pill and it doesn't work that way. But it's during those times that a person needs a friend. Be there for them. Maybe someone's dealing with a burden that's financial. Now, there's all people all around us that are dealing with that. Well, if they just manage their money better, then settle that problem. Well, yeah, 90% of the time, that's probably true. But they also need Christian support. And in some cases, financial assistance. And I don't really need to dwell on this long because I'm part of a church that I just am thrilled to see how this church is generous and helps others. And to be a part of that and see someone blessed because of it is amazing. But just be on the lookout for financial needs. The Lord prompts you to help. Do it. Bring it to the church and present a need if it need be. And it's so exciting to be a part of a church that is helping the community to be able to bring to the church board and say, hey, we have a need. What can we do about that? It's exciting. So what I did here today was just mention some of the most prominent, maybe, burdens that people could carry. But honestly, it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many other burdens that we could list and name that we all struggle with. But the question is, are we going the extra mile to help out when someone needs help? And what might that look like? Our church body can be referred to as a team. We're all in the same team. Teams work together to win. A sports team doesn't win if they don't work together. I am curious today how things turn out. We got two brothers fighting against each other, so I'm kind of curious to see how that goes today. So I don't know if one will help the other one out, but I kind of doubt it. I'm referring to the Super Bowl, in case you didn't know. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I think of our physical bodies. What happens when you hit your thumb with a hammer? The rest of your body goes to the rescue. However you do it, you jump around, act like an idiot, grab your thumb with the other hand, or in my case, you just remove some appendages so you don't hit it so often. It works well. Your heart rate changes. You start to sweat. You know, your whole body is affected. The point is that when one part of our body suffers, the whole body goes into protection mode. And that's what it should be like here with the church. When one of our members suffer and struggle, we should run to their rescue. I'm praying for you. How can I help you? I'm here for you. And then the last part of our text, the second part of verse 2, the second part of that compound sentence, if that's what you call them in Scripture. Fulfill the law of Christ. What is this law? John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is a law and the prophets. We need to fulfill this law of Christ that says, we know how it feels to be suffering and struggling and how awesome it is to have support, so we need to turn around and do that to others. We need to show that kind of love that Christ shows. And obviously, we won't be able to do it in the same scale, but we need to try to show the love isn't biased or based on what someone is or isn't doing for us. We can be a burden bearer even though the other person might not be doing what we think they should be spiritually, or if they're making dumb financial decisions. And this law of Christ, he gives it himself in Matthew 22. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You take those three verses, simple commands, and you follow them. You'll do all right at being a burden bearer. You'll do that burden bearing that Jesus wants you to do. A man from a big city was enjoying a relaxing drive in the country when a dog ran in front of his car. He swerved to miss it, but lost control of his car and ended up in a ditch. After a few unsuccessful attempts to get the car out, the man sat on his bumper and waited for help to arrive. He didn't have long to wait. A farmer who lived just down the road came to his aid with a big, powerful-looking horse. The man watched as the farmer hitched the horse to the car's bumper. When the rope was secured, the farmer yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull!" But the horse didn't move. Then the farmer yelled, "Pull, Buster, pull!" But the horse didn't move. Next, the farmer yelled, "Pull, Coco, pull!" Still, the horse didn't move. And finally, farmer said, "Pull, buddy, pull!" And the horse dragged the car out of that ditch with very little effort. The motorist was appreciative, but obviously a little curious. "Why did you call out four names when your horse only responded to one?" he asked. The farmer smiled. "Oh, buddy is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try." Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." It is very difficult to live the Christian life alone. It can be done. But like the verse says, one can be overpowered. The devil will find you an easy prey when you have others standing with you. Even though they are not physically present, you can draw strength and encouragement from their prayers and support. We really do need one another. Stand with me. Lord, there are so many needs represented here this morning, so many struggles that so many are going through. And I pray you'll help us as Christians to be the burden bearers that you need us to be, to share your love, to show people that we care, to be that witness. And Lord, in this just crazy, chaotic world, people need a friend. And I pray that you'll help us to be that friend to them. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the encouragement we find in one another. And I pray that you'll help us to grow closer together and to you. In your name, amen. Thank you all for coming.